The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
And once again, we're back. Manny and Derek here with you on another edition of Raised by Wolves. Right smack in the middle of a very, very, very hot summer. And the word hot, I think, might be a little bit of a preview to what we got coming on a little bit later in the show.
We got things happening.
Yes. But it's hot. We're in the middle of July. It was like 95 degrees today and when we were on this day that we were taping, which was Wednesday this week.
But we're inside in the air, so
right.
It's not like we're the air conditioning laboring outside.
Like, right. The air conditioning is like blazing right now. And
this studio is always really cold.
Which studio? They're like all really cold.
I don't know, like, if we're like preserving cadavers in corners now or what.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Let's just get right into it. The Wolves are in summer league right now. The whole league is in summer league, and we're seeing some good. I think we're seeing some good, promising, encouraging things from the two rookies, the two drafted rookies, Josh Okogie and Kata Bates Jop. And it is Jop, right? He basically like confirmed that it's Bates.
I just assume that that if Ghana Jop pronounced his last name Jop, that Kata Bates would also pronounce it Jop. And he, yeah. I guess I'm right then. I didn't even try to be this time.
We'll go with Jop. I mean, there's Luol Deng, Gorgie Jang.
See, but to me, it always bugged me when people mess that one up because it's not like, oh, I'm from this region that just pronounces it differently where that's easy to script. There's a different letter in there, and that changes the entire pronunciation of the...
It's not Gorgie Dang, it's Gorgie Jang. Yeah, but anyway. I mean, Kata looks like... He looks like he's going to be a contributor.
Sometimes his shot looks a little screwy, but generally, yeah, when I was watching him, I was thinking that this could really be a guy who has a good shot. He just has had the confidence in his shot and just can't have the hesitation. There was one shot where it looked like he just kind of like heaved it to the basket from his hip or something like that, and it didn't have quite the same effect, I don't think. But I think both guys in general showed great instincts, and that was really the encouraging thing to see on defense. Yeah, they're both pesky. They both seem to know how to make plays on defense. Now, like the thing that we always have to caution ourselves with in summer league, and I wrote about this for Thursday, is that you really do have to caution yourself.
I love how you just did a math problem to try and figure out which day.
That's why that was supposed to be funny. It probably didn't land as well. With summer league, like a lot of the guys they're going against, you know, they're not going to be in the NBA. They might be overseas. They might not be playing basketball professionally.
Right.
You know, this season, a very small portion of those guys are going to go on to continue to play basketball, but it's good to see them do it. These good things at another level, you know, higher up from the NCAA, which is good to see.
Yeah. And I think like I've been saying for months, like, and we can include Justin Patton in this again, like they got to get, you know, Tom Thibodeau's got to develop these guys and they've got to be a part of the future and a part of the plan. And, you know, at least if they're not going to be part of the plan, at least develop them to the point where they have value. And if
someone wants them to be a part of their plan.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it's promising to see, you know, them at least not looking like completely lost and having this sort of deer in the headlights look. I mean, I can't even really think of a recent Wolves draft pick that looked.
They haven't had a lot
brutal.
Of recent draft picks.
That's true. But I'm trying to think of one that.
Cody Zeller, when I was covering the Hornets, I covered it, the Hornets during Cody Zeller's first year. He looked lost.
Yeah.
His first, I don't know, 8 weeks in the NBA. Against him, and at summer league, I talked to him. He's like, and I get it. You're the fourth overall pick. You don't really give a bleep about summer league because your future is determined. You're set. You're not playing for anything. You're gonna play no matter what. And he was lost. It took him a while. And I think one thing that I mean, I generally don't care that these guys aren't really hitting shots. It's that the shots they're hitting, they look good. What I see a little bit with Okoji is the missed threes, like the open ones, where he mm-hmm. hesitates a little too much, stares at the rim. And I think that kind of overthinking leads to those misses rather than just, you know, catching and shooting. And maybe settling a little bit too much for the mid-range jumpers and not sure if he wants to take the shot or if he wants to attack. It's, you know, just and this will come with experience and just knowing what you want to do on the court and, you know, reading the defense and figuring out, okay, well, if I'm here and these are the things that are most likely going to happen. But, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. And I just don't want him to fall into the same trap as Andrew Wiggins, yeah. you know, where he just starts settling for jumpers when you're built to get to the rim.
Yes.
I mean, Okoji is bigger than Wiggins was when he was that age. But overall, like, don't you just watch him and you think, like, okay, you grew up watching a lot of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, well, because he does just kind of have this.
Because he can pass, too.
And he's kind of got this personality just sort of, you know, because Jimmy's got some Hollywood to his personality.
He's got some bravado.
But as a basketball player. Bravado, yeah.
But I call him an Oldsmobile.
As a basketball player, like, Jimmy comes to work. Like, he's comes in to grind and to work hard and to be tough and all that. And Josh Okoji kind of has a little bit of that too.
His social media handle is call_me_nonstop. And I saw that he posted something where, oh yeah, a picture of him at Summer League and with the caption of NON2T0P. So basically spelling out nonstop. So if you wonder if he's really about that life, he's apparently very about that life.
For sure.
But I think what's cool to see is just the way that he's disruptive.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he's going to be a good defender out of the box, but it seems like he sure can make plays when he sees the opportunities for him. And
in some ways, that kind of sounds like Corey Brewer to me. And I mean that in a good way, actually. Like, I mean, Corey, you know, Corey was a seventh pick, and he ended up just kind of being, you know, kind of a journeyman player, and he's been kind of a role player on some pretty good teams and everything. But that sort of playing style, it kind of reminds me of Corey Brewer in that he's very, you know, Corey Brewer's never really been a great defender or a good defender, really, but he's always been very disruptive. You know, he's long and he gets his hands in passing lanes. And
Flip called him part of his Gamblers Anonymous.
Right. Now, I hope Okoji is a, you know, ends up being a better defender than Corey Brewer, but I feel like he kind of comes from that same sort of mold. Where he's just gonna be, he's gonna be pesky.
Well, he's got those long arms that, I mean, he'll take right. advantage of players if, you know, if they dribble the ball too high or too far away from their body. He's gonna try to swipe at it, and there's mm-hmm. a good chance that he gets a piece of it. Now, he's gonna learn in the NBA, I think, once, you know, get to regular season games, that stuff isn't gonna fly.
Right.
And guys just aren't gonna do that. So you're gonna have to find a way to be smarter, and you're gonna have to work harder just to find those opportunities.
And you would hope that if he gambles a lot, that the length will help with some recovery defense. Where
yes.
if he falls behind on something, he can recover quickly because of the length and still be kind of disruptive on that end of the floor. So, all right. So, yeah, good signs that we're seeing from the two rookies. And, yeah, we'll see how the rest of Summer League goes for them. Okay. Another thing I wanted to get into earlier this week, pretty cool stuff. Maya Moore. Superstar for the Lynx, like all-world basketball player, wins at everything. She is on the cover of Slam Magazine, and I think it's like the coolest thing ever because, first of all, she's only the second woman, I think, to be on the cover. Shamiqua Holtzclaw, I think, was the first like 20
years
ago.
That is bleeping ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And
what really gets me about that is the WNBA has had a season mostly every year for 20 years.
Right.
And how do you not even just have like a WNBA preview issue or like some crossover issue where you have like, I don't know, Diana Taurasi and Steve Nash or something? That might have
That's
actually happened.
That's kind of surprising that somebody like a Diana Taurasi or even like a Brittany Griner or just somebody in
Candace Parker.
Yeah.
Tina Charles. Or even like a Tina Thompson or Cheryl Swoops or Lisa Leslie, Rebecca Lowe, well, all these the older league, players, too.
The league has had, I mean, Maya is obviously a megastar right now in the league, but the league has had star players that have been marketed and have been recognizable for a long time. So it's kind of weird that, you know, they went 20 years without having another woman on the cover.
It's a little embarrassing. If it's not just, you know, a men's basketball magazine, then why not, you know, feature those players?
Right.
And I think, you know, it would go a long way too in even giving people, you know, the respect for the WNBA. Like, wow, Slam's covering this. Slam thinks that it's worth the ink that this is printed on, or the bandwidth that it takes to load on the website. I mean, I think even just a little bit would go a long way. And I think once in a while, having a WNBA player or even a college player on the cover would be something that'd be pretty cool. And I think could interest a lot of people because there are some great stories out there and some fantastic players. And I think that would be a great way for a publication that's so respected in the basketball world to give a little more of that more often. But yeah, for Maya, it's just fantastic
Deserved. It's awesome. Well-deserved, long overdue as far as I'm concerned. And, so awesome for Maya. Now, as far as Maya's team goes, the Lynx.
They're almost getting annoying, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like they're good, but they're just...
Well, here's what I'll say. I should apologize to them a little bit because a few weeks ago when they were...
What, 3-9 or something?
I think they were 3-6. And we have this segment that we do, you know, once every few weeks on the Ride with Royce. It's called the Steam Zone, where me and Reavers and Johnny Height, we all give our hot takes, and you know, which we're gonna get to some hot takes here in a second. But we all give our hot takes, and it could just be on anything sports related. And the Lynx were 3-6 at the time, and I had said that they were not going to make the playoffs. That was my hot take, that the Lynx were not going to make the playoffs.
Whew.
That was a pretty hot take. And it was because Pat gives us like three different levels of like severity of like how hot the take was. And then there's one where if it's not hot at all, we just play a sound bite from Tom Kelly, the former Twins manager, just says, "I'm going out to cut grass." We're from a random interview with TK from like 2 years ago. But anyway, so I got a what's the highest one? Scolding hot sports take, because that was pretty
piping hot.
Piping hot is like the middle one.
Okay,
piping hot's the little one or the middle one. So yeah, I got a scolding hot sports take for that one, and you know what?
You also should have gotten a scolding.
Yeah, I should have gotten a scolding. So I would like to apologize to the Lynx because I should not have.
But here's the thing.
Thing of it is, though, it's like, in my defense, they were not playing well at the time. They were. I'm just going to come right out and say they were playing terribly. And I honestly think Cheryl Reeve would agree with me.
She had her finger hovering over the panic button, I think.
Yeah.
She's
they were not playing well at all. And then...
It was through a third of their season. I mean, at that point, it started to wonder, like, okay, right, are we actually good or what?
Right.
Are we going to figure this out?
So, then, of course, they went on to win,
Five, six in a row.
I think it might have even been seven.
It might have been.
I think about seven in a row.
It was seven, actually.
Yeah, after that. But, okay, so they...
This is why I say they're annoying, though.
Yeah, it was really weird because they had the bad loss to Indiana.
Who had one win at the time, for those who don't follow the league.
Worst record in the league. Bad loss at home. Then they come back 2 days later on the other side of the fourth.
They beat the Sparks by 11.
They beat the Sparks by 11 and really took it to them for most of the night, and then they go to Chicago over the ensuing weekend and get beat by a not very good Sky team.
The Sky have not been good since Elena Deladon and Christy Tolliver left for Washington.
Right. So, I mean, and Sylvia was there too, wasn't she? Was Sylvia there a few years
ago? Christy left probably about the same time that Syl did, because I think Christy Tolliver was in L.A. after Chicago and then went to Washington.
Yeah. But... So it's just kind of frustrating. And, you know, earlier today they played Indiana again, an 11 o'clock start, and really just dominated the entire game.
Which they should.
Indianapolis. Right, because the Fever have the worst record in the league and all of that. But, yeah, they are kind of a little frustrating because it's like, ladies, come on, you're better.
Well,
you're,
I mean, they had injuries this today and they still did it. But they had their healthy team against the Fever and they couldn't beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a little frustrating. So hopefully they are, I believe, 12-8 now.
They've put themselves in a pretty good position to grab a decent playoff spot.
12-8, yeah. They're the 4 seed overall. If the playoffs started today, they'd be a 4 seed.
That's just so dangerous in this league because you don't move up much more and you're going to find yourself in a place you don't want to be.
Right. Now, fortunately, They're a 4 seed, but they're only 2.5 back of Seattle, who's sitting at number 1 at 15-6.
And they played Seattle very well in that stretch.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Seattle, they're a very talented team. The question with them, though, is just they're unproven. And, right. I mean, I think that you get that experience versus that inexperience going head-to-head. And the Lynx could still have a shot. I mean, of course, no team has done it until they do it, and the Storm could still just eliminate the Lynx because the Lynx are too old or whatever. But it's something like that would still be favorable if they can't move up too much higher.
Yeah. So let's see a little more Lynx. Let's go, ladies. Let's see a little more from you.
Like lose to the Sparks, fine. Like
right.
I mean, that's at least understandable, but losing to the Fever
and then Chicago and yeah.
Just dumb losses.
Come on, ladies. Let's go. Yeah, they'll be okay. All right. New segment here on Raised by Wolves. We kind of cleverly sort of brainstormed a name for this segment called, we're going to call it Heat Check, which is
tentatively. Unless someone tells us it sucks and they have a better idea and they're higher up and they outrank us. But for now, we're going with Heat Checks.
Yes, we'll go with Heat Checks. And basically, this is going to consist of a lot of hot takes, whether it be hot takes from you and I, or in this particular case, hot takes from our listeners, who we always appreciate. So let's get right into it.
There might be a couple that make you want to start smoking, just so you know.
from Mr. Stamps, sometime this year, a trade occurs that sends Wiggins for a subpar veteran star, a la Lowry, to appease Butler and try a win-now model, which I don't agree with due to the competition in the West. Sure.
Kyle Lowry, like we said this before, Lowry would be the best point guard in Wolves history.
Yeah, he would.
Like and his playoff wouldn't even track really record be close. Good, but yeah, he'd be the best point guard in Wolves history. Yeah, so block it, that would be okay.
It really wouldn't be close. I mean, I know Sam Cassell was really good that year. They went to the Western Conference Finals. Sam was really good. He was an All Star that year.
But everyone loves Ricky, but
yeah,
overall,
yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of. I guess the Wiggins being Canadian. I mean, maybe.
I mean, honestly, though, I don't think the Raptors have cooled off on that idea. And maybe at $27 million, yeah, but I don't know. I still think they kind of like that idea if they could afford it in some way, because it would still be interesting. But I just think that things have to go horribly for the Raptors.
Right. Well, DeRozan and Wiggins, though, occupying the same space.
Where's my Spider-Man meme, Manny? Where is it?
Woo! My goodness.
By pointing Spider-Mans.
Woo! From Shams Maronia, Anthony Tolliver should start.
If you run a Pistons blog, by the way, give Shams a job. He's a smart guy. He actually lives in Minneapolis now.
I mean,
I thought about this. I was like, so who would you move to the bench?
Probably Wiggins, right?
That'd be interesting.
You know, or maybe.
Move Jimmy
maybe,
back to the two.
Well, you know, maybe not. I mean, you could probably start him at the four in some situations, right?
Taj would probably welcome it. Now, that's one that
I mean, Taj has been up until this year. Taj was coming off the bench his whole career, so he'd be cool with it, I would think.
He's like, oh, 24 minutes a game? That'd be great.
Right, exactly.
That man had so many ice packs last year after games.
But that's kind of part of why I like the Tolliver signing is that, one, it's for 1 year, so if he struggles, I don't really anticipate him struggling, but if he struggles, then it's not something that you're kind of locked into for multiple years. And he is a guy that can, he knows his role and he can play multiple positions and he can shoot some threes for you and he can defend multiple positions. And so, yeah, I mean, if it's moving Taj to the bench and Tolliver starting and playing 25, 26 minutes a night, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No, that wouldn't be too bad. I don't think it really matters who starts, who finishes. And I like Anthony Tolliver, so yeah, let's do it. But it would just take a coach to be creative and think outside the box.
Right, and I think, you know, this league is so predicated on, like, matchups now that, like, if it's a better matchup because, you know, maybe Tolliver can defend in space a little bit better than Taj can, then, yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't do that, you know, but... this is Tibbs we're talking about. Dave Cook says, how's this? What the hell is going on? A team which looked like it was set up for a 5 or 6 year run. Now looks like we better have enjoyed last year because things do not seem to be trending the right way. Wow, what was looking so forward to many Timberwolves playoffs runs. I think they could still have some playoff runs. Here's the only thing that concerns me is just sort of this supposed bickering among one another where, you know, Jimmy supposedly doesn't, you know, like what, you know, like the work ethic of the younger guys or whatever. I mean, just all the stuff that we've been talking about, you know, ad nauseum.
He's very much get off my lawn, Jimmy Butler.
Right. So that stuff kind of worries me. But as far as what they can do for the future, I don't think it's as bleak as it might seem. I mean, there's a lot of money invested into this team as far as, like, the payroll and everything.
Money's movable, honestly.
Right.
People look at this contract and they're just so down on Wiggins, and understandably so. But that contract is not unmovable if they really try. And there are now these young pieces. And I think one thing that I'm going to encounter with, and I might be burning one, but I think we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolves will be better than they were last year. If offseason stories are true, they will be okay. Confrontation is good. Clear the air and move on. If relationships can't be repaired, trades will happen. We won't lose assets, just have different assets. If story's not true, ellipse, and didn't go on from there. That was from Rue at Spanky T2000. I love reading people's ads, by the way. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it will just depend on, like, how they handle it. Like, they're all professionals, and I think on the surface they're all going to handle it pretty well, you know, publicly, but it's still one of those things where I think that there needs to be some conversations had, because there is something there, right?
Like we said,
like,
last
all the
week.
Stuff that's been coming up over the last weeks, and we can debate about, you know, how much of it is true, or, you know, what level of, you know, anger or whatever, dissension, whatever there might be. But I think there is, or there's some smoke, I think there's a little bit of fire. And I just
there's
think
too
that,
much smoke for there
yeah,
to be
there's
nothing.
Too much. There's too much smoke for it to just be, oh, it's just complete BS and, ah, nothing's going on. We're all, nothing to see here. We're all good. Like, I think there is something there. And I think it's, I'm going to say the same thing I've been saying for a couple of weeks now. I think it's on the president of basketball operations and head coach to sit everybody down.
How are you going to get both of those guys in the same room, though, Manny, this time of year?
Let's see. From Carl Anthony Towns, number one fan. Hot take. Rose takes over the starting point guard spot, and we trade Teague.
Wow, we got Towns as number one fan? That's impressive.
Awesome. You know what? That wouldn't even surprise me. Like, let's be real here. Would that surprise you if that happened? They traded Teague and he put Derrick Rose into the starting point guard spot? Come on, it
no.
wouldn't surprise you, would it?
Wolves Twitter would be irate, and I would just be too busy laughing to tweet about it because it would just be so funny.
I don't believe it will happen.
No.
But it would not surprise me in the slightest. It would not surprise me.
It's actually really funny to think. I'd see my phone go off and be like, Minnesota has traded Jeff Teague to blah, blah, blah for blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, of course, because there wouldn't be another point guard coming back. Tyus wouldn't be the starter.
Yeah.
And Tibbs would talk about how he likes Tyus coming off the bench, and then like 2 days later, Tyus asked for a trade.
Hoops Maven says, a huge need for the Wolves is a giant big man, so Cat doesn't have to defend true centers. Alex Len would be a great signing.
Alex Len doesn't like defending anything, so that well, might be a problem.
I do agree that it would be, I don't know if it's really a huge need, but I do think it would be nice to have like a more of like a real true like center that you could play against like Memphis with Gasol and like where's Dwight Howard Washington?
Where's Dwight Howard this week?
right. Where is Dwight? Where is D12 this week? But the thing of it is like the way the league is now, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe if you play Milwaukee because, you know, they just signed Brook Lopez. So maybe, you know.
Brook Lopez can shoot now, though.
Right.
Everyone
shoot. Well, because that's the thing is like, I don't know if there really is, unless you're getting Marc Gasol or you're getting, you know, Steven Adams as your like big bruising powerful center, then I don't really feel like there's much of a use for one. I mean, because Cole was in theory going to be that guy, but Cole never played because you just couldn't really use him.
Yeah, I don't think it's just Tom Thibodeau. I just don't think there's a use for a guy like that unless, and this was always kind of my plan for him, those nights you just say, hey, you got 6 fouls.
Right.
Go, have fun, grab some rebounds, use your fouls.
Set some screens and...
And just like 10, 12 minutes, whatever, give Cat a few extra minutes of rest or take him off that guy for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just little things like that that you can do. Now, do I think they should go back out and get someone like Cole who they can't play 90% of the time? No, that's a terrible idea and a waste of a roster spot.
Right. Yeah, I just don't know if... I mean... I guess if they get to August and they have a roster spot open and Alex Len is still sitting there and you can get him for the minimum, then, you know, fine. But my thing is with Alex Len is like we're a week and a half into free agency and he hasn't been picked up by anybody.
Even Jabari Parker's out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's really a...
I mean, he doesn't rebound all that well. He's a very average rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very efficient. He just isn't. His offensive numbers in his career just they're not great. I mean, yeah, you look at offensive rating.
They improved a little bit this past season, but not really enough. I don't know if it was enough to move the needle.
It's so hard to take away from this Suns team. I mean, especially when he's playing, you know, with guys like Devin Booker and TJ Warren and like all these guys who are great at scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes the sample just so tough, too, is that you just don't really know how much came back with the defense, and apparently a lot of it, because we were looking at Alex Len's most used lineups. The second most lineup of him with Dragan Bender, Troy Daniels, Josh Jackson, and Tyler Ulis, a negative 16.5 in 67 minutes and 44 seconds together. That was the second most common lineup. And it's just, he just doesn't do a whole lot. He's not a big passing big, which is another important thing for big men.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like I said, he's an average rebounder. He's not a great shooter at all. He shot 33% from three last year, but this is 2018, not 2008. He's kind of in danger of becoming kind of a fossil unless he really reinvents his game. And so, I mean, yeah, like you said, if he's out there, and
yeah, I think
August,
if you get to the end of free agency and you have a roster spot open and you just say, hey, you know, what the hell, let's bring in, you know, we could use another big guy to, you know, but the thing of it is too is like you already have like you've got Gorgie, you're hoping to get something out of Justin Patton this year.
There's not a lot of versatility.
Yeah, so I mean you need. I mean, I just think with the way the league is going and with what they already have as far as bigs is concerned, I just don't know if there's really a huge need for another one unless you can get one that's like a really – that's like a pretty good player.
Well, you know what's really irked me about watching Summer League is seeing Emile Jefferson play so incredibly well for this team and thinking they couldn't have used a guy like that last year, or at least tried to see if they could get something out of him at the NBA level. Because, I mean, he's handling the ball, he's doing this or that, and I know everything I said about Summer League earlier.
Yeah.
But there's clearly a reason why you converted his contract from a two-way to a regular contract. You saw something in him. And it just kind of that lack of creativity and imagination, because Emile Jefferson, 6'8 and 200-some pounds,
mm-hmm.
he can defend multiple positions, which is what you need in the NBA.
That is, versatility is so critical.
And you get a guy like Alex Len, and you're just going to stick him in the post on the biggest and slowest guy and hope it doesn't come back to haunt you.
Right. Hot take. This is from Tyler. Raised by Wolves is the best Wolves podcast.
It's not a hot take.
And the Wolves should move, and the Wolves should move Jimmy. They can't afford to lose him for nothing. Well, Tyler, first of all, thank you very much. We appreciate that. I mean, look, I sat with Mackie and Judd for a segment last week, and I was on with Judd and Collar last weekend just talking about that. I don't think the idea of moving Jimmy Butler is that outrageous. Now, would I like actually do it right now? No.
I was going to say, aren't we jumping the gun a little bit?
Right. But I will say, if we're halfway into this coming season and, you know, they're just kind of hanging on the fence, you know, sort of teetering back and forth between being in the playoffs and not, and there's just not, you know, and again, we don't, I mean,
Jimmy's we'll not in the middle.
Right. Then I think you really do have to, and he hasn't, we don't know if he's actually going to sign the extension or not, and he's not really giving any clear indications.
Why would he sign it now, though? And that's the thing that people are hung up on. It's like, there's no reason for him to. You were leaving millions and millions of dollars on the table.
Right. And the only way I could see him, like, regretting not signing extension is if he, like, gets hurt. If it's like a Boogie Cousins type situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would never hope for that to happen to him. But I think if they get through a good portion of next season and it's just things are just not looking good and it doesn't look like Jimmy's interested in staying, then I think you really got to think really long and hard about moving him. Now, this is Tom Thibodeau. So to be perfectly honest, I think the chances of Jimmy Butler actually being traded by this team is like slim to none as long as Tom Thibodeau's in charge. So it's not going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I don't believe it will happen. I don't think there's any likelihood that it would happen, but I don't think it's that outrageous to think about it, to have the thought in the back of your mind.
I think it's good to
trading Karl-Anthony Towns right now is just asinine.
That's madness.
Like that's just absurdity.
But be prepared for a scenario that's at least plausible. Like, it could happen. He could be like, I'm not staying.
Right. Yeah. Last one from Chief. It's 90 plus freaking degrees, and my wallet is sitting in my back pocket in a puddle of butt sweat. And with that, we'll get ready to wrap up the show. All right, just a couple more minutes here on Raised by Wolves. We'll call this little portion of the show Buzzer Beaters. We'll just kind of chat a little bit about what's going on around the league. I think one of the big stories going on this week is Carmelo Anthony. He's still technically a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it sounds like, from all indications, all reports, that they're going to part ways at some point this summer, whether it's a trade or they use a stretch provision. So Melo's going to be on his way out of from OKC. A lot of rumors swirling: Lakers, Rockets,
Heat.
I feel like there was one more team.
Could you imagine the wash lineup of Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony? Oh, man.
You know, I love them both. I've kind of grown up watching both of them play. I love them both as like human beings and, you know, players and everything, but that would be pretty comical to watch. That would be pretty
comical. He's so bad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Melo had a really bad year with Oklahoma City, and you know, he's got to start thinking about, like, you know, I know he had the comments, you know, at his exit interview at OKC that, you know, I'm not going to come off the bench and it's just ridiculous, yada, yada. But it's like, Melo, come on, man. Like, you're 34. You had a bad year.
You've had knee issues.
It's like, okay, you've made a bunch of all-star teams. You made a lot of money. You got to play for your hometown team for a number of years. You've won a couple Olympic gold medals. Don't you want to win a title? You know, don't you want to go to a good team, come off the bench, have a chance to win a title?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say that, and then the next thing you know, Carmelo Anthony signs with the Warriors for the league minimum. I think he's going to end up in Houston.
I think Miami
kind of makes the most sense, right? Just because of the Chris Paul relationship. And like, I feel like Chris Paul would be the one that could convince Melo to just be like, dude, come on, just come off the bench and we'll be good.
Well, and I mean, everyone's like, Miami, I mean, he wouldn't have the pressure. He could really extend his career and this or that. Like, he could just fit in. But I don't know that that's what Melo wants.
Right.
That's never really been Melo's style. So I feel like Houston, I mean, he's not going to go to L. I just don't see him going to the Lakers. And it's really not because the locker room would be too volatile, because clearly that's not a big deal.
Yeah. One more story. Magic Johnson apparently waited in a car for an hour.
Is this
before meeting with LeBron James? Like,
is this better or worse than Mark Cuban driving around Dallas trying to call DeAndre Jordan, who is holed up in his own house by Blake Griffin?
Oh, damn it. I love this league so much, man. It's just so, like, the stories that come out, like, even if they're not true, it's just like,
do you think like he dialed the number and they call, like, no, okay. And like, just rehearsing it over and over again, because that's just so great. And it's Magic Johnson.
Right.
Like, why are you nervous? Like, why are you taking an hour in your car and not just calling him and saying, hey, it's Magic Johnson? Like, do you think Pat Riley was sitting in his car for an hour? No, he came in there, he dropped the rings on the table.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. It's crazy. It's always crazy in Lakerland. I would love to hear Anthony Irwin's thoughts on that, too. That would be great.
Well, we'll get into that during the season, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll reflect on that for sure. Okay, thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. Find us on iTunes, podcast1.com, 1500ESPN.com if you have not found us there. Or if you found us in one place and you're looking to find us on another venue, those are your three options, so be sure to check us out on any of them. For Derek James, I am Manny Hill. Thanks to everybody who submitted hot takes. And enjoy the rest of Summer League. We will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.